I am a real American. Fight for the rights of every man. I am a real American. Fight for what's right. Fight for your life. Welcome to my dojo. This is Kung Fu Pizza Party, and I'm your host, Brandon Knight. And today, we are here to memorialize the passing of Hulk Hogan with a review of his movie, The Ultimate Weapon. Now, the following contest is scheduled for one fall with a 30-minute time limit, because here on Kung Fu Pizza Party, I seek to deliver high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and serve up some wisdom one slice at a time. So back in July, Hulk Hogan passed away among many celebrities who passed away in July. We had several celebrity passings from a variety of different celebrity categories. Hulk Hogan passing away there at the end of July. And what's fascinating about Hulk Hogan is the fact that you, listener, do not have to have watched a single episode of Raw, Nitro, TNA. You know exactly who I'm talking about. Hulk Hogan transcended professional wrestling. You know, he was one of the main reasons why wrestling hit an absolute fever pitch in the 90s, a level of pop culture that I think still to this day, wrestling has not quite hit that same level of pop culture popularity. Although I would say where wrestling is at now is probably the closest it has been since the 90s. Although probably a lot of that has to do with the ease of accessibility of wrestling related content with streaming and also social media. But Hogan through the 80s and in the 90s was one of the biggest named stars in the industry that transcended into acting, cartoons, reality shows. Hogan Knows Best, Brooke Knows Best. Like, you don't have to be a wrestling fan to know who Hulk Hogan is. And many of us, myself included, we are wrestling fans because of the work of Hulk Hogan, either directly or indirectly. I am a Hollywood Hulk Hogan guy. I grew up with Hollywood Hulk Hogan. I was not one of those brats who saw Hulk Hogan turn heel and was waking up in the middle of the night with nightmares. No, I remember Hollywood Hulk Hogan. That was my Hulk Hogan. Like, and I have since become more sophisticated, and my favorite wrestler is, of course, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, like every good millennial's favorite wrestler is. Not Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels. That's where the real talent is. And the whole, like, Hulk Hogan was such a major part of professional wrestling and transcended the wrestling forum and was such a big player in the industry, and yet at the same time was a horrible person. Hulk Hogan has had revisionist history of major moments throughout wrestling, making himself out to be like the biggest genius since Ryback. Shout out to all the wrestling fans out there. The biggest genius since Ryback, who was able to book and know exactly what the fans wanted in every single situation, allegedly. There was, of course, accusations of sexual misconduct, well-documented instances of racism in his career, and the... of course, in the early 2000s, having the incident where Gawker released a sex tape, one of Hogan, one that he claimed he never consented to filming in the first place. So Hulk Hogan was just like such an interesting individual that if you are a person like me, who a lot of your wrestling fandom, you know, you have to attribute to the work of Hulk Hogan, again, either directly or indirectly, you know, you may be feeling that same emotional tension that I was feeling at the announcement of his passing. Obviously, I don't wish death upon him or really anybody, but there was this kind of like weird tension, this weird like mixed bag of emotions hearing him pass, because he was such an instrumental part of me becoming a wrestling fan and his work, and yet he was a bad person. But, and in some ways, depending on how you view the Gawker sex tape leak, also a victim. Like, he was a very controversial person, and in all of it, you know, walking away after hearing that Hulk Hogan had died, kind of feeling this like weird bag of mixed emotions. Like, apparently, if that's how you're feeling over the news of his passing, like you're not in bad company. Because not only do I feel that way as well, even still now, it's been like a month since his passing, but also much of the internet feels that way as well, of like, yeah, he was such an integral part of wrestling. We would not be where wrestling is at now if it wasn't for, in part, his work. But at the same time, like, it's one of those, do the ends justify the means, of like how what he, and let's be honest, a lot of those guys in the 80s and 90s, what they were allowed to do, who they were allowed to be without any oversight, because, you know, I didn't even bring up the steroid abuse. Like, if we just accept that as, oh, you know, it's a product of its time, we've moved on past them, well, it still makes it bad for when it was happening. Like, we can't just throw the, oh, you know, it was different back then, because one, that was just 30 years ago. So we can't just say it was different back then. But also, it was still bad. It wasn't that long ago, you know? So if you're sitting here, whether you're a longtime wrestling fan or you just know of the guy through pop culture, I forgot to even bring up the fact that he was a MAGA Trump guy. Like, if you are sitting here and you're feeling this mixed bag of emotions over the passing of Hogan, like, I get it. I'm there with you, and a lot of wrestling fans seem to be in that space. Of course, there will always be haters. You know, I think Hogan's in-ring career is far enough in the past now that a lot of people are more comfortable saying, you know, he wasn't that good of a wrestler. And honestly, a lot of the big-name guys in the 80s and especially the 90s weren't really that good in-ring performers. They were really good on the mic. They had really good characters. But outside of guys like Kurt Angle, who really was more of like an early 2000s guy, you had like the early 2000s when wrestling took a dip in popularity. You had like some of the best in-ring guys with like Kurt Angle and Eddie Guerrero and He Who Shall Not Be Named. Like, I will not say his name, but the wrestling fans know who I'm talking about. But in the 80s and 90s, like, a lot of these guys relied more on the showman aspect of wrestling, like Hogan, like Stone Cold Steve Austin, like The Rock. I know everybody loves The Rock, the Dwayne Johnson nowadays, but like, The Rock was he was a talker. He had good promo skills. He's not a great wrestler. He could put on a show. Don't get me wrong. Him and Stone Cold had absolute classics, but they're not spectacular. If you're comparing 90s wrestling to the high octane, high spots of modern day, like AEW, New Japan wrestling, you're going to be really disappointed going back and watching Attitude Era wrestling now. All that to say is there are critics of Hulk Hogan. There are people who are kind of fans and feeling like a mixed bag of emotions knowing how he left this earth. But there is one thing, whether you're a hater or you're a fan, that we can all agree on, and it's this: Hogan wasn't a good actor. He was not a very good actor, which takes us back to our movie here today, The Ultimate Weapon. So throughout the late 80s through the 90s,
Hogan, like a lot of wrestlers, tried his hand at acting. A lot of his movies are not good. Probably all of them, if I'm being honest. But because of when they came out and what they're about, a lot of them do kind of hold this like cult classic, or at least maybe if cult classic is too revered of a title, at least a 90s nostalgia liking to them. You think of movies like Mr. Nanny, Three Ninjas, High Noon at Mega Mountain, like these movies where Hulk Hogan essentially plays himself. No Holds Barred is another example of that, of where Hogan essentially plays himself. The acting isn't great. It's, you know, the whole movie is just kind of built around cheesiness, and it creates this kind of like this perfect storm of this movie's not good, but it's kind of fun to watch, you know. And that was a lot of Hogan's movies, if like I said, if not all of them. There are some people, though, who would say that the one exception is The Ultimate Weapon. Now, it's ironic because not too many people remember The Ultimate Weapon. We'll talk about what was going on in 1998 here in a minute. But by way of Hulk Hogan movies, this is the one that, if you're looking for a film that is watchable, not so bad, it's good, this is the one to go to. The Ultimate Weapon came out in 1998. Like I said, that was a very interesting year for Hulk Hogan. He was WCW World Heavyweight Champion at one point during the year. He re-signed a contract with WCW, which was going to make him filthy, stinking rich by the year 2002. Of course, wrestling fans know what happened in March of 2001. When WCW was bought out by Vincent Kennedy McMahon and the WWF, that didn't work out too great. But he's re-signed this big money contract with WCW. He had what is often considered the worst wrestling match in history, or at least you could say the worst follow-up match in wrestling history, when him and the Ultimate Warrior had a match against each other at Halloween Havoc, which also featured what is often considered one of the greatest wrestling matches in WCW history, Goldberg versus Diamond Dallas Page. Love DDP, big fan. And the year ended and then starts very quickly in January of 1999 with the moment that is now referred to infamously as the finger poke of doom, when then WCW World Heavyweight Champion Kevin Nash and Hogan had a match against each other for the title. And the match starts, Hogan pokes Nash softly in the chest, and Nash very carefully lays down in the center of the ring for Hogan to pin and win the title. And trust me, in context, that doesn't make any more sense. There's nothing that makes more, it's a whole thing. So it was an interesting year plus 1 month into 1999 for Hulk Hogan, because he also had this movie come out, a movie that many people don't remember, and at least from his filmography, that is a shame. It makes sense that people don't remember this film, because you know what else came out in 1998? Saving Private Ryan, The Truman Show, A Bug's Life, Ants, just like so many movies that would go on to become like iconic films, both like for adults and children. Like, come on, The Brave Little Toaster Goes to Mars and Batman and Mr. Freeze Sub-Zero came out that year. They couldn't even compete with Batman and Mr. Freeze Sub-Zero. But it's really not that bad of a movie. And I think I saw the movie's not even rated on Rotten Tomatoes, first off. But on IMDb, there are some reviews. And I think a lot of people make a good point with this movie, that if Hogan would have been making these kinds of movies in the late 80s when he first started getting into acting, his film career could have gone a lot differently and for the better. He may have still ended up like a Sam Jones, Reb Brown, like a B, Billy Zane, like a B actor who does a lot of B action movies, but nothing to the extent of like Schwarzenegger or Stallone or anything like that. But the movie coming out in 1998, we were kind of past this style of film, but if it would have came out in the late 80s, early 90s, it could have been a completely different story. If you would have made a movie like this in the late 80s, as opposed to Suburban Commando, maybe things would have worked out a little bit differently for Hogan for the better when it came to his acting career. So in this movie, Hogan plays a mercenary. He's a military for hire guy, with along with his sidekick, this guy who's totally rocking the 90s Jim Carrey hairstyle. Like he's the comic relief, and they even gave him the Jim Carrey look just to like really send it home. And throughout the course of this movie, because it is the 90s, they end up busting a drug running scheme for the IRA. Because there for a while, the IRA was Hollywood's favorite bad guy since we were past the Cold War by this point. The IRA then, of course, goes after Hulk Hogan's family, specifically the rich millionaire who is orchestrating all these gun-running operations. And that was one of my favorite parts of this movie. It was so much like Dr. Evil in the first Austin Power movie, when he's like holding the world hostage for $100,000 and everyone laughs at him. He's like, that money isn't that big of a deal anymore. You have to go higher now. This guy is like a millionaire. The main bad guy is like a rich millionaire. He's part of a millionaire's club. He brags about how many millions of dollars he has spent on the art in his home. And it's like, bro, that's nothing compared to the billionaire fascist running the actual world now. So like, get on our level. We're so much worse. So it just kind of, that sounds a little bit dated, but honestly, there's other parts of this movie that could have lent itself to being very dated, but it isn't. There's a whole thing with like a flash drive that has important information on it. It's 1998, so there's like early stages of, you know, computers and the internet being very easily accessible for people, and it doesn't look cheesy. It's not like it's not like War Games with Matthew Broderick and hopefully you heard all that. You know, the fast typing on the computer, I'm in the system, you know, all that kind of stuff. Like it, the people who are using the computers actually seem like they know how to use a computer. So even that doesn't feel dated or out of place. It was actually kind of surprising. It was actually kind of refreshing of like, oh, I'm seeing like late 90s depictions of technology that we have nowadays, and it works still. And even Hogan's acting, like he's the biggest name star in this movie. Even Hogan's acting isn't the worst. I will say, again, because I have this weird relationship with Hulk Hogan at this point, that it was nice to see super young Hulk Hogan again, and to hear super young Hulk Hogan again. Like, I've just gotten so used to old man Trump supporting Hulk Hogan that it was like, oh, hey, there's the guy I remember. There's the guy that my childhood was based around. I missed him. The action for this movie, again, if this movie would have came out in like the late 80s, early 90s, it would have made more sense, because it's a lot of just like, I have a bazooka and I'm going to shoot and blow everything up now. Or there's a secret landmine built into this barn and now the bad guy is going. It was a lot of like 80s action stuff 10 years later. There was one really good hand-to-hand combat scene where they're at a strip club. Hulk Hogan's estranged daughter is dancing at presumably the Pink Pony Club. I don't know. They never said what it was called. So it's headcanon. It's the Pink Pony Club. and he's trying to get her out of there, and there's ends up being this big showdown between Hogan, the not Jim Carrey guy, and like these IRA millionaires henchmen dudes. And it's a pretty good fight. You know, this is where, you know, Hogan is being Hogan. He's picking up guys and just like launching them, big punches, the whole bit. Other than there was one point where he's fighting a guy and he does a Hulk Hogan does a 360 round kick. No, he did not. A jump spinning kick. No, he did not. He did not do that. I don't. Hulk Hogan tried to not leave his feet as much as physically possible when he wrestled. Like, he did not do a jump spinning kick. But overall, the movie isn't. If you want an example of like an almost enjoyable Hulk Hogan movie, this is the movie. If you want cult classic, it's so bad, it's good. Seriously, any of the rest of them. But if you're looking for like the one kind of diamond in the rough, this would be it. The ultimate weapon. Would I purchase a copy of this? Probably not. I ended up watching it on, you guessed it, Tubi for free. Again, Tubi. I'm giving you another free plug. Hurry up and support me already. I watched it for free on Tubi. Would I watch it again, though? I don't see why not. Like, it's a B-action movie, so it's just one of those you can put it on in the background and just kind of, like, work and just look at the screen and see what's going on and then go back to work. So, yeah, it's not terrible. It's not, you know, it's not like this sleeper hit that everyone missed out on. Because, again, Saving Private Ryan came out in 1998. Blade came out in 1998. But it is watchable. And it is kind of interesting to think about the what-if scenario of if Hogan would have made a movie like this earlier on, how his career would have went differently. Hogan even has a little bit of a Chuck Norris moment from Good Guys Wear Black in this movie, where there's one henchman of the millionaire guy who he's kind of like the designated horror villain, where it looks like he dies like three times in this movie and he just keeps getting back up to like come after Hogan. And eventually this guy is like driving his car and it's just going to try and run over Hulk Hogan. It's a whole thing. And it's very reminiscent of the Good Guys Wear Black Chuck Norris jump sidekick through the windshield thing. But it looks like my time is starting to wind down here and I do not want to pick up another challenge. So thank you all for listening to today's episode. If you haven't yet already, please rate and review this show wherever you get your podcasts. Pass this episode along to a friend, maybe someone who's also a Hulk Hogan fan and hasn't seen this one yet. You're missing out, bro. You can check out my YouTube channel, Studio 219, A Place for Faith and Pop Culture. And check out the other great shows here on the Anazal Ministries Podcast Network, including Why I Don't Like, Systematic Ecology, and of course my sister show, My Seminary Life, where I talk about all things faith and theology. And thanks for listening again. And also, make sure you check the link in the description for our current merch sale, bonfire.com/2025Kung Fu. This sale will be going on until the anniversary special, which is just right around the corner in September. And so get in while it's there or it's gonna go away. That's what's gonna happen. It's just gonna magically disappear into the nether regions of the internet. That wasn't the right word, whatever. But thanks again for listening. This is Brandon signing off. This has been Kung Fu Pizza Party, where I have definitely delivered high flying action in 30 minutes or less and served up some wisdom one slice at a time.